Good morning. He said, Mr. Scott. I said, I was looking to see if my father was here. I've arrived, I guess. I chose the subject today off your list of counsel. And I had a lot to do with it because the job that I have is I'm titled a counselor, the jail counselor of my county. I'm the boss, and I'm also the lowest person on the totem pole. It's a one-man department, and I get to go to staff meetings, and I get to take the message back to me, myself, and I, because I'm the only person in my department. But it's a neat job. You and I would probably refer to it the way that I do it as a chaplain. But it's not a chaplain position. They call it a counselor position. And I'm very thankful to have it. The Lord is very active in the jail ministry. Just to update you, it's going well. We're running in the high nines, close to 1,000 inmates. Probably have 945 to 1,000. And during the, it sounds terrible, but during the Thanksgiving to Christmas holidays, we'll probably go around 1,100 because Christmas gifts and a lot of stuff goes on, just thefts and all. Sad. But anyway, we generally, and so it's a busy job for one person. And the first thing that just about all inmates want when they get arrested, give me a Bible. So I'm able to take them Bibles, and I've probably got around 100, maybe a little over 100 right now, actively doing Bible study courses in the jail that I'm in. So it's working real well. These are serious people doing Bible studies. So I'm a grader with the Emmaus, and I can grade them and then go sit down and talk to them. So I have an advantage. If any of y'all grade the courses, I have an advantage over you. I can go in and grade the courses and talk to them and give them answers and tell them where they missed something and show them what God's word says. So it's able to go in and personally hand them their tests back once they're graded. So it's a great job. It's a great job. Quite a few people profess getting saved. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the true hearts of all believers. But just a new thing that's going on pretty good. It's not brand new. Probably I've told you before, but the sheriff, we changed sheriffs back the first of the year. And our new sheriff, about 4 or 5 months into his job, decided he wanted to have library books checking in and out to the inmates. And they put that under my department. And I already told you how many people are in my department. So it's a pretty good job in itself there. I've been able to so far stay with wholesome books. I'm tested on that regularly, but I've won. the Lord has come out on top with that, so I've kept trashy books out. That's working real well too. That's what the ladies, we have probably about 100 ladies and 800 or 900 guys. So the ladies just devour the books, and they take and they take such good care of them. I'll go in some of the books that are just been read and reread, and they only can come in paperbacks because hardbacks are weapons. You put them in a sheet or a sock, and you can saw a pillowcase, and you can sling them and hit somebody in the head if they're a hardback book. So you have to be soft paperbacks, glued back bindings. So they don't last a long time. And they're used when they come in. Some of them are rather old. But the ladies will take and read it. And they will take a page and read it. And they will lay it carefully. And they will lay another page on it. And they'll have them just all laid together. And the guys, I find a page over here. And they're throwing another torn page over there. And part of it uses a notepad. And, you know, if they ended a paragraph short. But the ladies are so much neater with the books in there. It just amazes me how they cherish these books. Something they've never had in my county. They were able to have a Bible, and that was it. Bible studies were not allowed when I came there, and they've graciously allowed me to do the Bible studies. So pray that that continues, that I do not have that door shut. This is a very valuable tool. One of the captains even told me that, you know, such and such pod and blocks, we don't even have much troubles over there anymore. And I said, yeah, why don't you find out how many are doing Bible studies in there? I already knew the answer. About half of them in there were doing Bible studies in there, and the fightings were down. And I thought, Lord, don't let them fight now after I said that. But it's worked out well that they've noticed there's a lot better behavior with the ones that are doing Bible studies. I don't have very much success with the Bible studies going out and the Lord using them in the quick turnover drug wards, where they're just in for drugs and they're out the next day or two, in and out, in and out. But the violent crime guys take it very serious. They know they're fixing to do some serious time, probably 10 years and up, prison time. And they're a lot more level-headed, and they're a lot more interested in, let's see, like the prodigal son, we've bottomed out, we've messed up. What does work? You know, my life, what I've tried did not work. What does work? And y'all see that probably in a prison where you go. But jails are, it's so different. I volunteered in the prisons, similar to what y'all are doing here. It was probably about the same thing. For 20-something years before I took this job came available. And I was amazed at the immaturity in a jail versus a prison. The immaturity of the little young kids that just think they're going to get four or five of them together, and they got their little gang, and even incarcerated, and they're going to tell the sergeant what to do. It doesn't work. There's a little thing called a taser. It works a lot better than they can think. It can get their attention real quick. But anyway, pray that the Lord keeps the door open for the Bible studies, and it's going great. I just can't imagine it being much better. It's just great, the Bible studies. So let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we look at you being a counselor, Father, may us that have opportunities to talk to people, may we use your word as our counsel. Thank you, Lord, that it covers all subjects and is very applicable today. And so, Lord, as we look at this subject of counsel, help us to realize who the great counselor is. And Father, we have the privilege of having your complete word in our possession. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. As you're turning there, counsel is advice. Advice resulting from an exchange of ideas. Advice resulting from exchanging of opinions, deliberations or discussions, advice coming from these things. That's generally what we would call counsel, getting advice by exchanging of ideas or opinions. Let's read Psalm 33 and verse 10 and 11. This will kind of be, going to bounce around a little bit, but this is our core right here, our main passage we're going to be thinking of. The Lord brings, Psalm 33:10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. That says a lot. But before we get into looking at this, let's do not miss something that's very important here. The plans of his counsel and the plans of his heart to all the generations. If I was to ask to you to individually piece of scratch paper and write down God is, and you fill in the third word, I would say that most of you would say love. God is love. Now, knowing that, that God is love, and we've thought about that at the previous meeting, an unconditional, unbounded love. So taking that as a fact that God is, it's like God is holy, God is love. You see his heart? His plans and his counsel for you when we seek him is from his heart. And that's love. So out of his love for you, he has counsel. God, who is a perfect, unconditional, boundless love, is available to you and I to get his ideas and thoughts on things. Why, it's kind of foolish not to go to him, isn't it? But so many do things, including myself, impulsive without going to the Lord. And we, as myself, can make mistakes because we don't go to God and pray first. He says, pray without ceasing. That isn't going down the road with your eyes closed now, but what it's doing, that is telling you, pray for all things. Pray without ceasing. All things. Don't leave something out. If I was to ask you, is there something that you want to do that you don't want God to know about or have anything to do with? You'd say, whoa, no. I want God involved. He's Lord of my life. Well, involve him. Seek his counsel. After all, it just says here, the Lord brings counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of people to no effect. A little difference when you put these emphases in, isn't it? But his counsel, the counsel of the Lord, stands forever. And the plans of his heart, that heart of love, to all generations. It's not hard to see from those two little verses whose counsel we should seek. It's not hard to see where you should go for your counsel. We can also see in our verses that both God and man take plans and counsel. You can get counsel from other sources. You can get it from human beings, people you know, or you can get it from God. It says that God's plans and counsel and man's plans and counsel are both in those two verses. So both of them can offer counsel. Both of them have counsel. Both of them have plans that can be sought after. And it's very important to understand that God plans all things. In his perfect will and his plan, when you seek him and you walk to the best of your ability with him, he's got wonderful plans for you. And he's the only one that knows. We're told, number our days. You don't know the number. But he's got plans for you all the way to that right number. It's amazing how he knows your tomorrows. We read missionary letters, and you guys do too, I'm sure. You read letters from the missionaries, and a lot of times what you read, God's already met those. And they've got a whole different set of plans. But you know what? He knows what they are. He knows what they will be. And he has a perfect, from his heart of love to all generations, for all times, his plans are perfect. And when God's plans and God's course of events and course of action with his counsel, it's going to take precedence over everything else. God doesn't have to have a plan B because plan A didn't work. God's plan A works every time. It's not one of these like, let's back up and see what else we can do. You know, that didn't work. God doesn't know those words. He doesn't have to use those words. Because God, his plan works every time. We need to realize that it's the plans of man, as it says there, to no effect, do not work. His plans will take precedence over our plans, no matter how smart you think you are on a particular subject. Matter of fact, you are more prone to leave God out when you do have a gift in a certain field. If I say, not out loud, but just think, who was the man that was the meekest in all the whole world back then? Well, you would think of Moses, maybe. A very meek man. Would a meek man haul off and hit a rock and beat it? How about the man of faith? Would he lie because he didn't trust God going into a country about his wife? How about Mr. Courageous Peter? If they all forsake you, I never will. Boy, he was very outspoken, wasn't he? And he's the one that denied the Lord. Y'all, this is so many times we fail where we think we're strong. And the Bible tells you that. Take heed. Be careful. If you're gifted in a certain area, you better pray hard on that area that the Lord keeps you faithful to Him in it. Be careful. No matter how smart we think we are, God's plans, His counsel, will always succeed. So we might as well go to the one that's going to be accurate and follow it and seek His will and His advice. And everybody says, oh, I just wish I knew God's will. It's right here. Obey it. Whatever He's laid on your heart, whatever you're studying, whatever you're daily reading and you're chewing on, obey that to the best of your ability and He will reveal more to you. He will graduate you spiritually as you obey Him where you are. Disobey Him where you are, and you might be like an old mule running into a wall. And we're about that hard-headed sometimes. Y'all, God's will. If He tells you not to do something, don't do it. If it tells you something He hates, dislike it. If it tells you something He loves, do it. If He tells you something you should do, do it. That's God's will. And He will reveal to you. John 7:17 elaborates a little bit on that. So if we do, He will reveal more to you. His plans will succeed. Look a little bit further at Psalm 33. Look at verse 16. Read a couple of verses there. No king is saved by the multitude of his army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. You move a little bit here past God's plans and His counsel into the, can we say, implementation of it? What do we see? We see here, notice here, no matter how great your resources are, the victory belongs to the Lord. Who would have put what would Las Vegas have put odds if that was back then on David going against Goliath? Oh man, you could have made a killing if you were a gambler. Yeah, one plus God's a majority, isn't it? And it says there, no king is saved by the multitude. I'm reading through the Bible, and I am enjoying the chronological Bible I'm reading through with all the parallel passages. And I've been going through the Kings and the Chronicles back and forth and all these different battles. It amazes me how, oh Lord, what do we do? They've got 15 times more people than we do. They've got 3 times more chariots of iron and all this. God says, trust me. I mean, he's able to speak from the sky and make it sound like warriors all around him and they start fighting each other. You know, you read these passages, it amazes me. God's going to win. Why would they leave Him out? Foolish. And it's easy for us to pick on Him. But we do the same thing. We leave Him out and make a mess out of a lot of things in our life. Maybe little things, maybe big things. No matter how great your resources are, the victory belongs to the Lord. The king, as it says, may have a mighty army. He may have super strength in his warriors. His horses can have great strength, but in the day of the battle, y'all, the Lord is going to decide who wins. Who fears him? Who went to him and asked for guidance and direction, and for humbleness of heart, trusted God? Y'all, it's the same for us today. The Bible is not outdated. His counsel is a great resource. Y'all, God can make, I'm enjoying that as I'm reading through these passages now. God can make either the stronger or the weaker. It's really immaterial to him. Which one are coming to me from their heart, seeking me and my advice and my counsel? You win. I mean, that's the one that's going to come out on top, because God is with you. And again, David and Goliath, that was so unmatched. Goliath thought it was a joke to start with, didn't he? He thought it was a joke. He didn't think it was a joke very long. Y'all, what are we saying? You can plan. You can seek advice. But if it's not from the Lord, it's in vain. Be careful. And to make it even worse, we're living in a time and rubbing shoulders with people that only go that other way. So you can't listen to counsel from people around you. Now, we know who godly counsel comes from. You got elders here. You got matured believers here. You got godly women, godly men. You got the ultimate here, the Word of God and the Lord himself. That's where we need to be going. But it's so easy to go to this guy that's got everything. Man, he's rich. Oh, look at the position. Look what he drives. That was a joke. He didn't even drive it today. Come all the way here to see my Camaro that I didn't even get to see it. Y'all, next best thing, he come in a pickup truck, I think. God decides whose plans and whose resources will succeed. There's an advertisement that I read. I want to quote it to you. An advertisement. Understand, this advertisement was in a Christian monthly magazine, distributed to churches. Okay? Here it is. I copied it. This business wrote this now, trying to get your business as a church magazine. They will assist you in your leadership team in understanding the purpose of your church. They will help you to identify your core values. They will help you implement a strategy to accomplish your vision. And they will measure the effectiveness of your ministry. You will learn how to develop a shared vision embraced by your entire congregation. And you will understand how to coordinate your resources to fulfill this vision in your church today. Call us. Now, this is a good idea. And I think this would work very good for a lot of businesses. If I was a business owner and I had a lot of employees, I would probably think along these lines for my business. In a way, I would. Trying to get organized. But y'all, this was given to church. And it was given to them as a business proposition. And it was saying in the easy, it was like, if you break it down, I did, you break it down, it's like six easy steps, and they do make sense. First, understand your purpose. Two, identify your values. Three, determine your strategy. Four, measure your effectiveness. Five, get your people to share your vision. 6, coordinate your resources and fulfill the vision. The ad may seem harmless on the surface, but then realize this was in a Christian monthly magazine targeting churches. Did you notice a few things missing in that ad? God. We're speaking on counseling and seeking His wisdom for our plans. Did you miss anything? It wasn't in there, was it? Y'all, this is the way even the churches are thinking today. Not the church being believers, so I mean, don't get me wrong there. But the meetings around, and this magazine targeted for one particular denomination, and it's probably the biggest one in the South, for example. Realize that it's missing. Nothing said. Number one, pray for God's leading. Before you ever start, let's just pray for God's leading. And if it's of Him, it will succeed. Didn't we read that? It will succeed if it's of Him. If it's of man not seeking God, it's not going to make it to start with. And this was in a magazine for churches to grab. Nothing about seeking God's counsel, nothing about first coming to God and seeking His will. The point I'm making is that we've gone so far away, even in a church, we've gone so far away from seeking God and His counsel in matters. We sound like that guy in James. Y'all know the guy in James you sound like. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city and spend a year there, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. And the Lord says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Are you saying you're going to stay there a year and buy and sell and make money? You don't know what tomorrow even brings. For what is your life, the Lord says? What is your life? It is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that or such and such. You know, we start to sound a lot like that person if we're not careful. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be your life. There's so many around us that probably are doing that. It would be easy to catch on to the way they do things if we're not careful. If we're not careful. And you totally leave God out is what we end up doing. Then you have those who seek and take counsel. And then they seek and take counsel. And they seek and take counsel. And they're actually looking for somebody that will give them advice and counsel what they want to do anyway and hear what they want to hear. Like buying that car and going in debt. Like doing something that you're very uncomfortable with as a believer, but you're just waiting for somebody to tell you it's okay. You know, there's an excellent example of that in your Bibles. In 2 Chronicles verse 10. In 2 Chronicles verse 10, there's an excellent advice on that. It actually is about a guy that's Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam goes to the godly older men, advice from the elders. And they tell him what to do. He didn't really like it. So he goes to his young, I call them hoodlums, but his young friends that were very wayward, him being a little rich boy. He went to the people that he grew up with and hung around with. And he asked them what their advice or counsel would be. And they gave him, and he liked it. It was actually get harder with them. Extract more money and more thing out of your subjects. After all, you're the king and they're your subjects. Tax them harder. I mean, look who wins. You do. Y'all, he faced a rebellion that he never got over. A rebellious people because he shunned the godly advice. Y'all, that's right there in your Bible, and it's exactly what we're talking about. Be careful of seeking advice until you get what you want to hear. That can be done that is done. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, you reap the fruit of your own ways. Oh, when we start doing something like that and avoiding God's will or seeking God's counsel and taking man's counsel or the world's counsel, very dangerous. And you will reap. It is a lot about sowing and reaping, and it says the fruit of your own ways is what you'll reap. Let's take a little different view in the time we have. Let's take a little bit different view, because I want to apply this to you and I personally, and I've already done this studying this. We need to realize that you and I are responsible here too, on counsel. How many people in your family, or how many people in your workplace, or how many people in your neighborhood, or in social gatherings outside of here, do you know that God has put in your path that are unsaved? If you're like me, there's a lot. And I probably have you beat on that, because I work in a place that everybody I'm around is unsaved. And you give a gun and a badge to the average person, and it's bad. They're not seeking God. Very few police officers are saved. Very few. Very few. But let's think about how this counseling thing, and putting a little twist on it. We've already covered how you know where to go get your counsel. We know where you should be going and where I should be going, and what happens when we don't. We've already looked at that. Now let's think a little bit different in these last few minutes. Let's think about how your responsibility as a believer today, with people that are in your path or will be in your path that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Have to understand, what you have is very valuable. Put it this way. HIV, cancer, two big killers today. Okay? And we think, boy, if there was just a cure for either one of those things, it would really be great. Y'all, not either one of those things will send a person to hell, cancer or even HIV will not send a person to hell. What sends a person to hell is sin that they are bearing on their own. We looked this morning about God, of Jesus Christ being our sin bearer. Y'all, if we do not go to Him and get that load off of us, God sees a heart that we have sin and we're going to pay for it. That will send somebody to hell. You have the pill or the cure with God's counsel. Paul says it this way. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says it this way. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That's Acts 20, verse 26 and 27. I have not shunned giving you the full counsel of God. And consequently, he said that I testify you to this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. You know, you can actually take from that what a guy told me the other day. I picked on him pretty hard. He wanted to come in and speak at the jail I work at, which is also under my umbrella, the speakers that come in. They do the, like y'all go in, I'm over those. And this guy was a little unsure of. He was so sold out over his ministry of the Celebrate Recovery program. That's all he could talk about, was that he wanted to talk about how to free them from this and free them from that and these 12 steps and this, that, and the other. And I said, whoa. First thing they need is get saved. I said, no program's going to save anybody. I said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what you need to be preaching. Y'all, that's what we need to be concerned about. That is what sends people to hell, not any of these dreaded diseases that I mentioned. Now realizing that you possess that power. What if you possess the power to cure cancer? Well, not, you know, obviously you'd be rich, but boy, you would be very popular. Y'all, you got something that is much bigger than that. You've got the power that possessed in that message that Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the whole counsel of God that Paul's talking about. So we're putting a little twist on it, but putting it in mine in your court, we're responsible. Now, Paul went to the point of saying that the blood of the men's hands are not on his hand now. The blood of those men's sins are not on his hands now. That's what this fellow I was talking to at the prison coming in. He ended up giving me I said, well, tell me how to get saved. I thought he was going to say, well, this program, da-da-da-da-da, and go to this meetings. But he gave the gospel good. And he said, oh, Mr. Scott, understand, I don't want the blood of those men on my hands. And I thought, well, that's where he's coming from probably. He read this verse and got it. Y'all, we are responsible as believers when God puts someone in your path that they should see it in you, and you have already earned a right to be listened to because you kind of got something going on that they don't have going on. You've got your life a little bit in better order than the world. A believer should appear to a worldly person as someone that is level-headed. You don't fly off the handle like they do. You don't go start cursing people and throwing things. And you know, I'm going back to my construction days, remember. Haul off and hit my finger one time so hard it just tore my finger apart. And the guy says, I just knew you were going to say something then. I said, it's not in there. You know, that's what they're all saying, is that when you get bumped, what you're full of is what comes out. You know, they see differences in us. That earns you a right to tell them what that difference is. It's Christ and Him crucified is the message of the counsel of God. That's what God would have us do. And very simply, that's put in 1 Corinthians 2:2. It says, Christ in Him crucified is what Paul says is the, and it's very simply put as the gospel. Christ in Him crucified. You know, this is the truth that the world needs. Now let's look at just a couple of things. And it's some scriptures, but I'm going to read them to you. And just listen to this. First off, we need to understand the very basic point is that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's the creator. A person, that's what the evolutionist, first thing they want to do was take Him out of creation. Then I'm not responsible because He didn't create me. I'm not responsible to Him. He's not my creator. Y'all, He's not only your creator, He's your judge. And we need to realize that with the world knowing that from us. You're not going, even if nobody ever catches you doing anything here, you're not getting away with it with God. You're going to stand before Him. And He knows all. The first thing is Jesus Christ is your creator. And a good verse would be in John chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. It says, all things were made through Him. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Another verse on Christ as creator we need to be giving this message to people is in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. If anybody wants any of these verses, I got them on a piece of paper later if you want them. For by Him all things were created. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible or invisible. How you like that? Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Swallow that. First it says He created all things, whether visible or invisible, and I automatically, my brain goes to invisible. All things consist. Wow. How did they end World War II? They found something that had previously been invisible to man's eyes, and they found it. Something's holding it together, and we found how to split it. Wow, he's been holding all that together? Yeah, he holds all things together. He holds this earth in a perfect orbit. And for any of you math wizards, figure out the pull that the centrifugal force has with the weight of this earth swinging in an orbit. And he says it to Job, he said, I hung it on nothing. I hold it in place. Wow, you try to hold. Ride your ride at your fair. Ride your ride and sling around. Matter of fact, I better not say that. I was going to say fat girlfriend, but I better not say that. Get somebody really big, and then you get on the outside of them and then just let them sling it and see what it does. Y'all, the heavier it is and the faster you go, the more squashed you're going to get. Y'all, what holds this world in place? I didn't say that, I see. What holds it in place? Jesus Christ, all things consist. Y'all, he holds everything in place. Whether you don't have to see it. I don't think it's fair that we can't see Satan. But Lord has put a dimension out there that they exist in. I can sure see his evidences of it. And I'm getting smarter. And the Holy Spirit sure helps me a lot on that too. Y'all, he is our creator. I would move on that before I get any deeper. How about I'm already going to ride in the back of the van probably. How about he is incarnate, our example incarnate. Y'all, God came to this earth to die for man and became a man to die for man. Y'all, you can never go to Jesus Christ and say, oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know how hard I have it. You don't know what he went through. You'll never go through as much as he went through. Y'all, when he's talking about having a sympathetic high priest, I mean, it's way bigger than that. He is the sympathetic high priest you can go to, and he can know what you're going through. He's creator, and he's also incarnate. He came to this earth and was born. We celebrate Christmas before very long. We celebrate at a time he came to this earth. He came to this earth on a mission, and that was to take care of the sin question that man had problems with. Man being born a sinner after Adam. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23, it says, for to this we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. So I said he's incarnate and he's our example. We've got many examples for him in the Bible. That you should follow his steps. An example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin. Try to do that one. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Yes, we need to be preaching Jesus incarnate. All right, remember when they had the bracelets and all that? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Not a bad idea. What would Jesus do? We need to have him as our example. That needs to be part of our counseling to people. We have an example. Now, he's perfect, so I say you'll never attain it. So you can always seek to attain him as an example, seek to be like him, because you won't get there, because he's perfect. Next, he's our Redeemer. As we seek to have the whole counsel of God, he is our Redeemer. And that's what Paul said back in Acts 20, when I said he declared that he is innocent from the blood of men because he'd not shunned to give the whole counsel of God in Acts 20, 26 and 27. Part of the whole counsel of God would be that he is your Redeemer. And we referred to that this morning in Isaiah 53. Y'all, he was your Redeemer. He redeemed you. What does a redeem mean? To purchase. You remember when you used to have the green stamps and the gold bond stamps, and you went to a redemption center? That's where you went and traded your stamps in on goods. Oh, that's, I don't think we do that anymore, do we? Yeah, now you get gas points and all kind of stuff. Anyway, that's what your children get. I don't know about y'all, but my children know my phone number, so I don't never have anything on the buy low deal. Never have any. I'll have like 30 cents, and it's the next day it's nothing. They use our phone number and go in and let's see what mom and dad have on it. So what did I do about that? I found a good thing to do. I used Terry's mama, and I get her mama's points. So my kids get mine. Their kids... Well, I'm kind of their kid. I'm married their kid. Well, I get theirs. And I come out pretty good. I got 90 cents off the other day. When I found 90 cents, you know what I did? I went and got fill up every can I could with diesel. Tractors have been running all summer on that 90 cents off. I got $100-something worth of diesel with that 90 cents off. Y'all, Redeemer, redemption, to buy, to purchase. He is your Redeemer. Oh, wow, sorry, I'll stop. The Redeemer, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the whole counsel of God. Realize it. Tell the world, these lost people that God's put in you, and I did not look. The lost people that God has put in your path, let him know that you have a creator. You're responsible to him. You're going to stand before him. He's also your judge. Have scripture. Your words may be powerful. You may be a fancy talker. You may be a great salesman. His word is better than yours any day. It has power to convict. John 1:1. Wonderful to go there. Y'all, he's a creator. He came to this earth. He was an example. He came to this earth to die for you. Christmas is an excellent time. You got an object lesson. Jesus said 5,000 talk preached on I'm the bread of life. You got one now with Christmas coming in. Y'all, let me tell you about Christmas, why he came. He came so you could purchase you from this sin market. Yeah, he's incarnate, Jesus Christ. The Redeemer, he died for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You want me to pray for the food? Sure. All right. Father, thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we think about you as the great counselor, Lord, help us to seek your counsel, and then as believers, you can use us to go out and give your counsel to others through us. Help us to use your word to know it. And Lord, we know your word has power and does not return to you void. So Lord, help us to... Lord, I just pray that we would be privileged to see fruit from your word as we use it. But Lord, help us all to be counselors seeking wisdom from the great counselor. Thank you for the privilege we have as believers to spread your word. So Lord, we just ask for help from the Holy Spirit that we have. Once we're saved, we get the Spirit of God. And Lord, we know that it comes with many, many, many pluses. So Father, we just pray for help. Pray for boldness, as Paul told Timothy, that the spirit of fear is not from the Lord. Father, help us not to be fearful, but to be bold as Paul was. So, Father, we just again now thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. Help it to speak to us. Lord, help us to leave here and walk a message of being a counselor to people that we know are saved. Maybe family members. Let them know what your word says about our loving Savior. And Father, we thank you now for this food and the ones that prepared it. We just ask your blessing on it and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.